What's up? Welcome to episode 340 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is probably dead asleep. It looks like he took a red-eye flight. I guess maybe he got more tattoo work done in San Francisco. I don't know.
Such a bad idea.
Yeah, he's like, I might make it to the podcast, but I'm probably going to be dead. And I'm like, why would he be dead? And then he's like, I see like that message from 1:43 a.m. about waiting for his flight. And I was like, oh, that's why. Yeah, here we are. It was a pretty light week in news. We did see the release this week for Stadia, so all the reviews are out for that, which are very on the low end. Like, the streaming itself works, but, like, promised features just aren't there. Like, a lot is missing from what they said would be there. Like, it's clear that this is a beta launch, considering it's only for the, what, like, the premium people who bought it, like the $100-something edition. Because the actual release doesn't come out until next year sometime. Like, the, you know, you don't need a controller release or whatever, where you can just do it, like, over your phone with a PS4 remote or something. So, yeah, it's really odd. But I did watch Digital Foundry's video on it. They're looking at, like, a Shadow of the Tomb Raider and some Red Dead Redemption. And, like, the Shadow of the Tomb Raider, like, it ran in 4K at 60. But you can tell, like, side by side between the Xbox One X, how it was clear that it was in 4K, but it was a little softer. Like the, especially in the blacks, like the white balance in the blacks was higher, so it wasn't nearly as black. I guess like if you, it, almost like the difference between HDR and non-HDR, like that kind of thing. But it looked fine. It looked like it ran well, and they didn't run into too many problems. It's just feature-wise in the whole, you've got to buy the games, but still have a subscription. You do get the free games with the, you know, premium edition or whatever, but it's a lot of people are just saying it's just like, yeah, it works, but it's just not really all there function wise especially because you have to, like, a lot of stuff to change system wise you have to do it within a browser, like especially the frame rate cap to change that, and all the, like, any settings you'd normally do for games, like within the menu, you have to do, like, with the corresponding web browser function. So, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And then once the Xbox One goes live in their beta to do comparisons. But that was probably the biggest thing from this week, because I don't think there's any big games. And we do have a lot of the Black Friday deals have started. A lot of them on the PlayStation Store. The 12-month PlayStation membership is discounted to $44.99 for, you know, 12 months, obviously. And then a bunch of other games are discounted. Outer Worlds is discounted. I can't see the price because I own it. Same for Borderlands 3. Red Dead Redemption's discounted. Battlefield 5. You know, check Modern Warfare. It's 20% off, but I think it's supposed to go a little further down, because I thought that deal wasn't supposed to hit. They had, like, the PS official PlayStation blog had a breakdown of, like, the days. Because, like, on the 22nd, it was going to start, and then on the 25th, and then on the 28th. And I thought the Modern Warfare deal wasn't going to happen until the 28th. Maybe it's for, like, the, because right now it's the Operator Edition and the Enhanced Edition. So it's, they're pricier. It's like the $80 and $100 versions of Modern Warfare, so not the base game version. So maybe the base game won't be up until later. So, like, they're trying to get you with these, you know, more expensive bundles first that are discounted 20% before they put up the regular one. But yeah, like the it's Borderlands is 33% off. Yeah, I wish, even though I owned a game, it would tell me what the percentage was, so at least I can say that. It bugs me that I can't. I have to see, like, for Borderlands, I can see a SKU. It's the Borderlands 3 Super Deluxe Edition. So because it's a different SKU than what I purchased, then it lets me see the discount percentage. But yeah, just a bunch of discounts. A lot of games. I would tell you, Monster Hunter World, Ghost Recon, Breakpoint, which isn't really doing that well. It's 50% off, though, so it's like they obviously know that. But Mortal Kombat 11 is 50% off. They got, like, Code Vein's discounted. Ark Survival. Resident Evil 2's discounted. Overwatch. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The Witcher. Man of Medan. Ooh, I should probably pick up Man of Medan. It's 30% off. That'd be pretty good to play. Yeah, I think these deals last until, let's see what they say. The deals last until the 3rd of December, so you got quite a while. Oh, there's a demo for The Man of Medan. I didn't know that. But yeah, Sekiro, like, definitely check it out. There's a ton of games. Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy, plus the Nitro Refueled, and they have like bundles, like, oh, get Nitro Refueled plus the Spyro games, like a weird bundle. I'm like, this is really odd that they're bundling these together, but whatever. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff up there. I think there's even like a there's Capcom one as well, but I'm sure that's bundled into the Black Friday deals. But yeah, check those out if you want, you know, if you've been waiting. I know there's some games I wanted to pick up that I haven't yet, but I don't think they're in those deals. But anyways, let's go ahead and just jump into the news. There is the, as Twin Infinite calls it, the artsy side-scroller Gris. Yeah, it's coming to PS4 next week, and it looks even prettier, apparently. So it'll be on PS4 on the 26th. So if you haven't played it, of course, it was available on Nintendo Switch exclusively. But you can go ahead and play it on PS4 next week if you haven't picked it up yet. Then there's a patch that went live this week for Borderlands 3, detailing a Maliwan takedown storyline, I guess like a couple of missions. And they also, keeping it with Gearbox, they showed the trailer for the Moxie's Heist DLC. That will be coming out in December. I don't see the official date. I don't know why you don't put the date at the top. Yeah, December 19th. So it just start at the top. Just be like, announced for December 19th, and they give us the detail. Like, DLC, date, price, consoles, right, and then all the details. Like, give us up front, because I'll still read those. But yeah, I watched that. So that's cool that some DLC for that's coming up pretty quick. And of course, they've had some, I think, some lighter content stuff. I mean, they've had some patches, a lot of patches, which of course Izzy always complains about. I didn't read the patch notes for this to see if there's any big weapon changes. I haven't played Borderlands for a while. I'm still like, where I'm right at the end. I try to finish it before what came out? Before something came out. Probably before Outer Worlds. And then I just didn't get there. And then there was DLC for, you know, FF14, which pulled my cousin away. So we didn't have really time to play. So we're right at the end of Borderlands 3. But I don't know when I'll finish it. And then there also was the, it's not PlayStation related, but it's VR related. The Half-Life Alyx got announced this week by Valve, which will come across, it'll be on every PC VR headset, just not on the PS4 VR.
Rip.
Yeah, which is a shame. But the trailer for it, like, it looks really good. Like, game-wise, I'm like, man, this game, it looks really nice, especially for a VR title. Of course, we're watching, like, the non-VR feed of it, but mm-hmm. So I'd have to see it on the actual headset. But it looks pretty good. It sounds like, it almost sounds like it's Taika Waititi as one of the characters. I don't know if that was confirmed or if it was a, but it sounds just like him, like his core, almost like his core character from Thor. But yeah, it looks really good. That comes out in March, and it's supposed to be like, it takes place between Half-Life 1 and 2, and it's supposed to be as long as Half-Life 2 was. But yeah, just the VR world interactions look really cool. Like, using moving objects and then getting stuff behind them, I thought that was really cool. There's a spot where, like, Alyx is looking for ammo for, like, a shotgun pistol, and, like, she's just digging around on a shelf, like, moving junk, and she finds a cartridge and loads it into the weapon. And it's like, that looks really dope. And then just a lot of cool imagery. Like, I really liked City 17 and the whole design of Half-Life 2. It's cool to see at the back. And then the updated resolution of G-Man at the end was really awesome as well. But I'm curious what they're going to do story-wise, like, because we know that, you know, it's like, oh, we got to get this weapon and help us turn the tides in this fight. And I'm like, well, you're not going to win against the Combine because, you know, until Gordon Freeman gets woken up by the G-Man to, you know, get in there and cause some chaos, like, you guys are losing. And it's interesting too, because her dad gets kidnapped again in the trailer, apparently. But I'm like, but he gets kidnapped in, you know, in Half-Life 2. Like, at near the end, he gets taken, and you have to go rescue him. So I'm curious, like, so he gets kidnapped twice? Like, that's, it also sounds like using like a different voice actor for her father as well. But Alyx sounds like the same voice actress. But yeah, it looks really cool. I'm like, you know, if it will work on that, was it the Oculus Quest, the one that's entirely no computer needed, hands, you know, you can just buy the thing on its own and it works. But you, in order to do it, you do have to have some sort of cable that hooks up to a PC to, I guess, help run the game. But yeah, I saw some articles like, yeah, the specs you'll need, the PC specs required for this game are higher than it is for the VR headset. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess that makes sense, because not only are you outputting it to the headset, but it's like you got this game you got to run as well. It's probably going to be, you know, crazy. But and some of the guys from Campo Santo are working on it as well, because, you know, we know that they joined Valve a while ago, and they had that Valley of the Gods game, which I guess got put on hold. I was unaware of that. I guess I didn't see the announcement. But yeah, they're helping work on this game. So, but yeah, I think it's really cool. I mean, I'm hoping it turns out awesome. I don't know when I'd play it or how I'd play it. I'm not gonna buy a PC and a headset just to do it, but it does look really awesome, and it'd be really cool to see that world in, you know, a higher resolution than Half-Life 2 originally was, and also in VR would be really, really cool. But yeah, hopefully maybe at some point they can do like a PSVR version. I don't know, maybe. But if they did that, then it'd be like, okay, now I got to get PSVR.
Yeah, just another thing that you still don't have. But
well, they have Black Friday sales. I keep meaning to buy one. Like, I want to get one, because there's always VR deals, and there's still a bunch of VR games I want to play and stuff that I still want to play the heist. The London High stuff, because I played that at PlayStation Experience and it was really good. So I'm like, I want to experience that. I played the tank game. I forget what it's called. Battle something maybe. But that was a lot of fun, because like you're in a cockpit of a tank, and that's like, that's really cool. I still got to do the VR for the Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I never did. And then maybe replay Resident Evil 7 and just try all this. There's a lot of stuff out there. But yeah, maybe they'll port it on the PS5 if they did that, because it's like, okay, now you got a more powerful machine. You'll still have the limitations, I suppose, of the PSVR, because you can't do like full 360 like you can with the other headsets. Maybe they can just, you know, that would give enough time to create a port where they would just change it up slightly to accommodate the limitations of the headset, I guess. But that'd be pretty cool if they could do that. But yeah, that's basically it for the news. Again, it wasn't super busy with a lot of stuff, because of course we're getting close to Thanksgiving in the States, so not gonna be a lot announced, I suppose. There's supposed to be some announcement for Persona 5 Royale coming up in a couple days. I don't know what that's gonna be. I don't know, maybe like another trailer, I guess. I don't know. But we'll find out. But yeah, that's it for the news. So I guess since Izzy isn't here to talk about whatever he's been playing, which is probably just Dragon's Dogma, you've been playing both. See, sometimes I'll see you on and you're playing, it says you're playing Death Stranding, but then I go on Twitter and you're tweeting about Pokemon, or on Instagram, your Instagram stories are Pokemon, and I'm like, but they're like from 30 minutes earlier. I'm like, is she really playing Death Stranding? or is she actually playing Pokemon?
Jumping around a lot. Usually, like, I'll play Death Stranding for a little while, and then usually when Michael's not home, and then when Michael gets home, he wants to play Death Stranding, and I can obviously stop playing and go do something else, so I'll just let him play. So, but yeah, he's playing on his own profile, so
right. Yeah, I don't have him on PSN. I must have purged him at one point. Like, I didn't recognize his name anymore. Uh-huh. I do that on my list like every couple of years, especially back when it used to tell you like. Or, you know, it tells you like how the last time they're online. I'm like, well, these people haven't been online for 6 months, so get them out of here. So I must have just gotten rid of, because I didn't notice his name. Because I know if I saw it, I'd be like, okay, that's him. But yeah, I only have you, so it's like, and unfortunately, Death Stranding doesn't, unlike every other game that tells you what someone is doing in the game, Death Stranding doesn't. It just says Death Stranding. It doesn't say making deliveries or on chapter whatever. Like, I guess the chapter thing could be spoilery, because I didn't know how many chapters are in the game going into it. But like, say like making deliveries or something, or in main menu, like, because like Call of Duty says, you know, you're in a party, or Outer Worlds says you're exploring the this planet in the Outer Worlds. Like, it games tell you, you know, Borderlands level 22 operative in Floodmore Basin. Like, it tells me what these people are, what they're doing. It's like I like seeing that stuff. But Death Stranding is just very, the only way I can tell your progress is like, all right, did she sink her trophies? Okay, her trophies say she's this far, so she did this. So if I say anything,
oh yeah,
like that—that's it. That's the only thing I've seen as far as your like progress for the games.
Yeah, it doesn't say like what like city you're near or what not you're near, I guess, or yeah, anything like that. Yeah, so you can't be like, oh well, I guess they're doing stuff up in the mountains, or I guess they're doing stuff by the lake, or you know, because the city names aren't spoiler per se. They're just like South Lake Mountain, like
South Lake Knot. Distribution center south of mountain, you know, mountain knot or whatever. It's like yeah, it's not really a spoiler. Yeah, because according to this, you're in chapter five. They call them episode five in the trophies. Are they called episodes or are they called chapters in the game?
Episodes, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, it says you're on episode five right now, based on your trophies. But Izzy just got back. Oh, let's see if we can add him to the call. Well, let's ask if he's ready.
He's not dead.
Well, if you're ready, you're good. We will call you. But yeah. Yeah, I wish it just told me what people are doing. Are you dead? Sorry, phone died. But yeah, well, I guess we'll see. I am dead. Well, I guess. He's so dead. All right, I guess we'll try to add him to the call then. All right, Isley's joined us. He's here on the podcast. Welcome.
Yay.
He's dead.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that was a rough weekend and a rough flight back.
Did you get more tattoo work done or something else?
I did. I had a 10-hour tattoo session followed by a red-eye flight that was delayed 2 hours. So I got in. I was supposed to get in at 12:30, and I got in at about 3, and then I just immediately went to my bed and crashed, and my phone was dead, so I couldn't set my alarm. It was bad.
Crazy.
Yucky.
But worth it.
Yeah, well, in the long run, I suppose, yeah. In the moment. Yeah. But once everything's said and done, you're like, it was good. But yeah, Zai, you've been playing, like we're saying, when you were playing Pokemon and Death Stranding, so it seems like you're playing more Pokemon than, like, once Pokemon hit, you kind of slowed down on Death Stranding.
I had a plan because Death Stranding came out and then the next part of Pokemon came out. My plan was to just blow through Death Stranding's story for the most part and just get, like, as much done as possible, and then I would have, like, the end game and all the side stuff to do. But you see, I was thwarted by the fact that I'm a slut for side quests, so
thwarted.
That didn't happen. So when Pokemon came out, I was like, well, I can play both at the same time, but I also didn't calculate the fact that I am just insane about Pokemon.
That's so funny.
And now there's this thing in Pokemon where you can just pick it up and do like the raid things with people. So you can just go on the list and look for people who are looking for raids. And
wait,
you can just
there
do
are
that.
Raids in Pokemon now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're called Max Raids. You fight like the big giant Pokemon and you can like invite people to help you kill them and stuff. And so now I do that. God. Or this is like, I don't feel like going to like the next gym and fighting and going through the story stuff. I'll just go to the wild area and wander around because every day there's like different weather and a different time of day. There's different Pokemon that show up. There's Pokemon that appear on the overworld and hidden in the grass. And it's just like, it's been a mess.
That is how Pokemon normally appear. Hidden in the grass and in the overworld. And
well, they're like out and like walking around now. So there's different sets of like spawns when you're in the outer and when you're in the wild area. There's like the Pokemon that appear and they're like walking around and you can see them, and then there's ones that like when you're walking around in the grass they're invisible and they just come up as like random encounters. So there's like two spawn pools for every area and every weather and every time of day. It's been a mess. I severely underestimated my ability to multitask and to be like focused on a single thing.
That's funny. Yeah, that I know you're talking about the side quests. I'm like the exact same way. It's like that's why at some point I realized, you know, I'm pretty far in this game, and I knew like I'd already connect all the stuff, and it's like, oh well, I know five starving is going to be a trophy, and there's some mm-hmm. there's like there is a collectible, and it's like I was like, oh well, I got everything now. It's like I still have to meet these NPCs. I'm just gonna keep going. But yeah, so I kind of pushed myself there. But I was, and because I know I'm just gonna platinum the game, so I'll just go back and do all the regular stuff. But I basically had done everything, especially because this you know, quote unquote side quest content in that game is just like infinite.
Yeah.
Because like all the they just generate the white boxes, all the lost cargo. They just generate it, and it's like I usually try. I'm like, okay. Like, I was in a spot, and it was, like, it had cargo for someone that was, like, super far away. I'm like, why would the guy have cargo way out here in the middle of nowhere? Like, it's not, like, user cargo, because, you know, which is green. It's just, like, random cargo, like, that it generates. So I'm like, I'd pick it up if it was someone that was, like, 3 knots nearby. I'm not going to take it to the dude back across the map. I got stories to do, man. I gotta get to this BT section,
but, or you make that decision. You're like, okay, I'm gonna do it because this is gonna be like really rewarding. It's gonna get me a lot of stuff. It's gonna be really cool. And then you start to make that trek, and you just kind of make stops on the way there. And there's 4 hours of your life.
Yeah, it's.
Well, I might as well get that, and then I'll stop here on the way. And this is on the way too, so I'll pick up some stuff on that. And that's the problem I run into, is I get to like, I do a big story beat and I get to a new area, and they're like, okay, we need you to go to this place, or we need you to go back to this place. I'm like, well, I might as well pick up stuff on the way there. This is on the way. I go to the next thing, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll pick up some stuff here too, because there's still stuff on the way. And I just keep picking up more and more crap. And then it takes me 3 hours to get to where I need to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I eventually at a point, I'm like, all right, I know I can carry a ton of stuff, but I need to stop. Especially because I was going through a section I'm like, I wasn't familiar with, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to carry a bunch of stuff to this region. Unless once I got the truck, then I'm like, just give me everything. But I was at a point
that's
where
my problem. Yeah. Loading up the truck with just junk.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of main quests that are like, you know, you have to carry a ton of stuff. Like, you need to carry fuel, supplies. So you need the truck. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, 300-400 kilograms. And I'm like, well, A, I can't carry that in my character. And then I'm like, oh, well, I'll knock out three of these things because I got the truck right now. And it's like, mm-hmm. just barely, I don't have quite enough space for everything. So I got to do partial deliveries. I had to do a bunch of partial deliveries, like way late game, just because I had too much stuff I was trying to drag along. But... But yeah, you, so you did the, yeah, cause you're on that one. So you did the one first encounter with Cliff.
Yeah.
But man, that.
And I've been watching Michael play too. So.
Oh, okay. How far is Michael?
I'm not so concerned about, he has his headset on. I think he's on chapter. I don't know. He's like in a Cliff battle thing right now, but I think it's like the third one.
Okay. So he's pretty far.
I don't know. He's pretty far, yeah. But it's like the story's so Kojima that I don't really care about spoilers because I'm not going to understand when I play anyway. So I'm just going to be watching him do stuff.
Oh, so if he's on, he's like, I mean, spoilers, but he's like right near, pretty close to the end then.
Yeah, he's almost done. Spoilers. He's already made it to the coast and he's on his way back.
Yeah. Man, that's nuts. But.
Yeah, but he hasn't played Pokemon yet, so I'm further in Pokemon.
There you go. Yeah, I got a 1-up on him there. Yeah. Well, that's good. At least deal. Like you said, if you just kind of ignore what he's saying, plus if he's got his headset on, you're not hearing all the stuff anyways. You're just seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like you're sitting there doing nothing. You're focused on Pokemon, so... Man, there's so much stuff I want to talk about for later portions of Death Stranding. I gotta wait. But yeah, Izzy, you've just been playing Dragon's Dogma?
It's still Dragon's Dogma. I beat the first playthrough, and I beat their Black Isle and the main story. And now I'm back doing New Game Plus, trying to do the second playthrough of Bitter Black Isle, because I forgot that the first time you beat it, it's like the Castlevania false ending. And that, like, not the dungeon doesn't actually change like Castlevania, but it just gives you the fake out of like, oh, hey, you beat it, but you didn't really. So I went back in immediately and it got way harder and I'm like, oh yeah, now this seems more in tune with what I remember. Because I was thinking the entire time, like, man, I remember like getting my ass handed to me in here. And I went back in and it wasn't like that big of a deal. And now I'm getting my ass handed to me. So now we're in the real endgame, boys.
We're in the endgame now.
But yeah, so just Dragon's Dogma, really. And then obviously I was dead and knocked out for my tattoo recently, so I am recovering today by playing video games all day, as one should.
That's what you got to do sometimes, just stop and play some games. But I finished this Stranding on Sunday. And then I started playing. I totally blanked on what I started playing. Oh, yes. I'm still playing Jedi Fallen Order. And I'm not super far in it. I'm only a couple planets. It's funny. I guess there's this one part where, like, early on, you can get this, double sided lightsaber attachment from this one planet. Like, if you find. Like, if you explore the first place you go to enough, you can find information about, oh, there's this planet, Dothamir or something like that. It's like, you can go there if you want. Like, some reason, this person you're trying to track down was interested in this planet. I'm like, okay. But it's, like, super tough there. I guess there's, like, some tough enemies. But, like, I went there. It was pretty rough, so I left and did some of the main stories. I went back and got the lightsaber attachment, and then there's like a section there where you clearly need a double jump to make it across this gap, but I guess somehow people figured out a way to get across it without the double jump ability. But if you rest at a meditation point, which is like a bonfire or lantern in Bloodborne in Dark Souls, there's only one save state. And you can't fast travel between meditation points, so they can't get back. So they basically lock them. They hard lock their game to where they can't escape this area. They have to start over. Oops. So it's like they cheat their way over. And I was always like, I wonder how they do it. Like in my head, I'm like, it must be like there's some geometry that they're scaling that's on like a wall. Like I'm trying to imagine what this gap looks like. But when I got there, I'm like, I have no idea how you do this. Like, the only way I think you could do it is, like, you somehow trigger the game to make it think that you can reach something you can't. Like, I don't know how – like, there's no – it's clearly a gap. Like, there's no – nothing I can see when I look at it. And I tried to do it on my own. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I have no idea how you – unless you, like, do some weird glitch because it's Unreal Engine, like, where your character, like, floats or something or jitters over. Like, I don't know, but – I did think it was funny that they accidentally locked themselves. Like, well, at least it's early on. You can just restart. But yeah, I'm not that far. I am playing on Jedi Grandmaster, which is the hardest. It's like Jedi normal, Jedi Master hard, and Jedi Grandmaster is the hardest. So I was playing on the hardest because I figured, okay, well, there's a lot of Souls stuff in the game. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to treat it like a Souls game. I'm just going to play in the hardest difficulty. Then the L1 block combo counter like in Sekiro is in there, and that'll make it more fun. The problem is that the timing isn't always perfect, and then granted on Grandmaster, like the time window you have to do the counter move is like super small. So that's the thing that changes the difficulty, basically changes the window of time you have to counter the damage and aggression of the enemies. So the higher the difficulty, the lower that window is, the higher the aggression and damage. It's like standard stuff. But that's not always super accurate. And then also, I find with certain creatures in the game, the way they telegraph their moves isn't always perfect. Like in Souls and Bloodborne, every enemy like clearly has a telegraph for what they're doing, because it has the repose and, you know, block mechanics and all that stuff and Sekiro and everything. Like, it's clear by the animation what's going to happen. But there's certain creatures like that where that's not the case. It also does a weird thing where it's like some creatures that I'm not used to where I can stagger them, but then they just break through that stagger and they're just like normal leveled enemies. That throws me off. And then also, again, like I said last time, you can't hold block and attack at the same time. You have to let go of block to attack, unlike every Souls game, which bugs me. And then you also can't spam L1. Like in Sekiro, you spam L1. And like, you'll pretty much, you're always in a block state, but you could also get that, you know, reflect attack counter as well, like pretty easily if you just spam it. But like, you can't spam L1 in this. And then also the delay between letting go of L1 and going back to block is pretty big, which kind of throws me off. So I feel like I want to turn it down from Jedi Grandmaster just to Jedi Master, because it's not refined like a Souls game. So I want to treat it like a Souls game, but because it's not perfectly polished in that way, it doesn't necessarily work out. So I'll probably bump it down eventually. I'm not going to do it right now. I was like, you know what? I was like, I got to just lower this, because it's like it just didn't feel quite as good as I wanted it to.
Fake gamer boy.
Hey, she's not even playing it, man. You're playing it. But yeah, but it's fun though. Like I'm liking it. Like I said, you can definitely tell that they're probably not used to doing Unreal, considering both Titanfalls and Apex are in Source, and now this is in the Unreal Engine. Like, you can tell there's some, you know, animation jank sometimes. The LOD pop in during scene changes and cutscenes can sometimes be pretty dramatic. Dramatic? What the fuck?
Yeah, where are you going with that?
Pretty dramatic. But like, all of a sudden it goes in like, oh, the textures clearly don't load yet, but then they pop in. So you can see it needs a little bit of optimization. Like, I'm curious if they had made it in Source or if they could have made it in Source, but I don't see why they couldn't. Probably just EA wants them to do it on something else, but at least it wasn't on Frostbite, I suppose. But yeah, it's fun so far. I'm looking forward to playing some more of it. And then once I'm done with that, I'm going to go back into Platinum Death Stranding. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Death Stranding world looks like after I haven't played in so long. I logged in the other day to Death Stranding. I forget why. I think I went to go... Oh, I logged in to go back and read some of the emails that I didn't get to finish.
Oh, yeah.
So, and there's one from someone, and it's like... Because you can actually... There's a tab for, like, important emails. So I read, like, all the main ones, and I went through the important ones, and I found, like, one person... Oh, that's what it was, too. There's a secret thing that opens up after you beat the game. So I wanted to go back, like... Not a big thing. It's just like a small little thing. But I wanted to go back to this location, so I went back and I found it. And then I read all the emails and these journals I had unlocked. It's the journals specifically for Higgs. So I read all his journals. But when I went back into it, I noticed that the highway that I had helped start had a few more sections completed that I didn't do. So it was kind of cool to see that. And then I'm looking forward to going back and just installing a bunch of zip lines just everywhere. I love the zip lines. They're so good. They're like my favorite way to, you know, traverse any game ever. I'm like, just let me build these zip lines. It's so nice. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to go back and platinuming that game. That'll be fun. And then I got to get back into Apex. I haven't played Apex since Outer Worlds came out. So it's been a while. But yeah, and then after that, that's the other new release I did forget, is that Civ 6 came out this week on PS4 and Xbox, so you can pick that up, the base game, and then also they have a bundle of the Rise and Fall and the, oh, I'm I'm blanking on the name again. I had the name for the other expansion. I'm forgetting what it was called. But there's another expansion, and it's bundled together. I think it's like $40 for both of them. I mean, the base game is great on its own, especially if you haven't played Civ, definitely pick it up. But the expansion, the Rise and Fall, and the Gathering Storm, that's what it is. The Gathering Storm DLC expansion pack on it was great. I love the mechanics, and the Rise and Fall stuff really changed the game up a lot, especially if you're a veteran of the base Civ style game. Just the stuff they do, the mechanics they added were great. I'll probably definitely pick that up on PS4 at some point. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. Just waiting on. Got to wait for more stuff now in Q1 and Q2. But yeah. All right. Well, yeah, definitely. Like I thought it was going to be a super short episode because, again, wasn't a whole lot of news. But yeah. And hopefully.
Slow time now.
Yeah. And we'll see next week if you're further along in Death Stranding. We can talk a little more about it because I definitely have some complaints, but it's more that are related to the late game. So I can't talk about them here. But I definitely want to get more into Death Stranding. But
got holiday weekend coming up, so I have time to do all the things.
Nice. That's right. All right. Well, yeah, I guess that'll wrap it up for this week then. So thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Later.
Bye.